And let us turn in God's words to 1 Samuel chapter 25. As we look at David, and as we look at some of the hardships he endures as he attempts to go about the duties God has placed on him, as he runs from Saul, as he tries and attempts to provide for the men that are with him. So let us hear together the word of God from 1 Samuel chapter 25. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him, and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness of Nabal, that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, Get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, Peace be both to thee, and peace to be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them, all the while that they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers, and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way, and went again, and came, and told him all these sayings. And David said unto his men, Gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them, when we were but in the fields. They were a wall unto us, both by night and day, and all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins, and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, Go on before me, behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so as she rode on the ass, and she came down by the covert of the hill. And behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, Surely in vain I have kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. So the more So and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertain to him by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, Upon me, O Lord, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies, and they that seek evil to my Lord, be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto thy Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. For the Lord will certainly make my house a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee, and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life. With the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shalt he sling out, as out of the middle of the sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord. Either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. And David said to Abigail, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. So David received of her hand that which she might have, which she had brought him, and said unto her, Go up in peace to thy house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was very merry with him, and he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing less or more until the morning white. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal that he died. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, David sent us unto thee, to take thee to him to wife. And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, Behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass with 5 damsels of hers that went after her. And she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. And David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they were also both of them his wives. But Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Phalti, the son of Laish, which was of Galim. Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our study of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we open this passage of God's word, we learn a number of things. We're reminded of them at least. As we look at Nabal, We are reminded that his name, Nabal, means fool. And we see that Nabal is a very rich man. I'm sure some of you chuckled when you heard about 3,000 sheep. But at the time, this was a great blessing. This was very great riches. And yet at that same time, while it may be easier to get riches by being nasty to people, by being a cheapskate, God will judge for what we have done in these things. We have to be careful that we are not seeking after the things of this world rather than seeking after the glory of God. And as we see this, then, we also see that David is about ready to get in trouble himself. Because he's about ready to take justice into his own hands. Now, we have to understand something. We have to look around a little bit and say, where's David going to get justice? He and his men have spent much time helping out Nabal so that he didn't lose an animal. As you who have kept sheep know that sheep are dyers. When you don't lose a single sheep in a year, you're doing pretty good. And yet that's how it was with David and his men around Nabal. And yet, even when there doesn't seem to be an earthly judge that's going to take care of us, God brings about justice. And another thing we learn here, quoting from Proverbs 31, is, well, not quite quoting, but paraphrasing, is a truly godly wife, her worth is well beyond rubies. And we see that with Abigail here. And so as we look at God's Word then this morning, we see that God prevents David from falling into sin, even for the sake of Nabal's wickedness. God prevents David from falling into sin for the sake of Nabal's wickedness. In verses 1 through 11, we see that David is rebuffed for asking for help from Nabal. In verses 12 through 31, we see that Nabal's wife intercedes for Nabal's life. And then in verses 32 through 44, we see that God provides retribution for Nabal's wickedness. So first thing, that first verse tells us that Samuel has died, the judge of Israel. This reminds us at the very beginning of this passage, what I've already said, that there wasn't anywhere for David to go to look for justice. David is in a country which is ruled by Saul, who has become more and more wicked and more single-minded in attempting to kill David. And so Israel mourns for him. All of Israel gathers together. And David gets out of there, of course, because it's not real safe for him to be in the company of other people right now. And so David goes out to Paran. And he runs into the men of Nabal. And Nabal, as we've said, is rich. But he's harsh and evil. His wife calls him a son of Belial. A son of the devil. Boy, this is not the sort of guy you like. And his name means fool. I'm not certain that that's a given name. But the Bible presents him to us as a fool. And so Nabal has great riches, 3,000 sheep, 1,000 goats, and it's a feast. Now, I'm not sure what to make of that, quite honestly. I studied a fair amount, particularly of that matter. And honestly, what's said there is it's a feast of Israel. They should have been at Jerusalem. They should have been not at Jerusalem, but at Gilgal at the temple. David, of course, couldn't go there easily. But Nabal is working his shearers straight through one of Israel's feasts. This is a guy who's pinching his pennies and being a kind of a rat. It's not something that should have been done. All of Israel was to gather together, specifically the men. I'm on my own on that. I don't see anybody else saying that, but I believe that to be accurate from what I see in the Hebrew. And so, Nabal is very harsh in his doings. He's evil about them. And we see that demonstrated even in that fact that he's got his men working through the feast. And we have to notice another thing. He's at Maon. Now, if you look at Israel, Maon is only about two times as far away from Jerusalem as Bethlehem is. It's not far out of things. David is not, and this man is not in the middle of nowhere in the wilderness. This would be a couple of hour walk to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem, of course, wasn't the city it was going to be later on, nor Bethlehem. But we have to understand that he acts dumb about who David is. But he's not. And in fact, later on, I don't know if you noticed that as we read it, Abigail uses the word sling twice. And she says that with malice aforethought. She says, I know who you are. We know who you are. You're David. You're the one who killed Goliath with the sling. And yet my husband has done some pretty foolish things here. And so David has been protecting Nabal's herds. And David asks to partake in a small part in the feasting surrounding the shearing of the sheep. Now the idea that's going on here in this area of the wilderness, it's very dangerous for the animals. In this area of the wilderness, there were other people that would come in, robbers and thieves that would come in and kill and take the animals. There were other animals that would come in as well and take animals. So this was not a safe place to be taking care of some animals, especially sheep. The fact is, today, even people who have sheep in this area of the world hire other people to run protection around because of how dangerous it is. This is an area where you need more than just a shepherd. You need a lot more than that to keep the animals safe. And so David and his men had acted that part. Certainly 600 men is probably a little hefty for what they needed. But David sends his men to Nabal at the shearing festival. And they approach in a very honorable manner. I think it's interesting, you notice in verse 6 that the words in prosperity are in italics. That's added, and I don't think it's the right thing that should have been added there, quite honestly. Another translation puts it, they approach him like a king. O Nabal, live forever. Peace to you, peace to your house, peace to all that you have. We see that in the rest of the verse here. And so they come in a very humble manner. And they ask, all they ask for is whatever comes to your hand. Verse 8, I pray thee whatsoever cometh to thy hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. They're asking for one animal. That's all they're asking for from Nabal. And Nabal denies them harshly. He says, you're feasting with your men. Please give a little bit to those who have helped. You have this great crop of lambs, this great crop of sheep. And Nabal harshly rebuffs David for asking even for this small gift. Who is David? Who's the son of Jesse? Is he some escaped slave? I'm not going to take the meat and water and bread and give it to who knows who you are. Well, of course, David was not unheard of and unknown. As we said, Nabal plays dumb, but he knows what's going on. And he doesn't want to pay for the help that has been rendered to him. We have to be careful about how tightly we hold on to the money that God gives us. Whether we're rich or whether we're not so rich, whether we're poor. And so Nabal has acted very harshly, acted, as his wife later says, even as his name is, he has acted foolishly. And Nabal's wife, upon hearing this, intercedes for Nabal's life. Upon receiving this information, David's men prepare for battle. He says, every man gird on your sword, 400 men. David states his case in verse 21. Surely in vain I have kept all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him. And he hath requited me evil for good. And his wife, Nabal's wife, Abigail, gets wind of what's going on too. And she realizes the danger that has been caused by her husband. As soon as the men tell her, she realizes that there's trouble brewing. The men tell her all the good that David and his men had done for Nabal. David's men had said to Nabal, ask any man around, you'll know how much good these men have done for you. Nabal didn't ask anybody. The men bring the message to Abigail. And she grabs a great quantity of food, not just a lamb that David had asked for. She brings 5 ready-dressed sheep, 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 35 quarts of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisin, 200 cakes of figs, and heads over to David to appease him. This, which had been about one lamb, has now gotten a lot more expensive for Nabal. Of course, this isn't the end of how expensive it gets, is it? False economies often get us in trouble, especially on the shoulders of those who aren't getting anything for it. And so she heads out, and she meets David, and she requests that Nabal's reproach come upon her. She gets off of her donkey. She says, verse 24, my Lord, let upon me this iniquity be. And let thy handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. As soon as the men tell her, she gets over there and she says, on me let the iniquity be. She openly admits, verse 25, that her husband is a fool. This isn't what we would hope that our wives would have to say about us, is this man? But if it's what we are, quite honestly, if it's going to get our throats slit, it's probably better she tell them the truth about us and appease the danger that we're in. And as I said, this demonstrates one way in which a godly wife is worth more than rubies. It truly is. And she blesses David and notes God's blessing on David for fighting God's battles. We read in verses 27 through 31. And as I said, she specifically mentions the sling twice in verse 29. The souls of thy enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. Yeah, that's a little cryptic. But the word there repeated doubly is not a word we would use regularly in Hebrew. And it specifically is the exact same word that is used of David's sling. And so I think we have there a very clear reference. She knows what David has done. As well then does her husband. And yet her husband, as she says, is such a son of Belial. Such a problem. And so David is turned aside. David is stopped from taking revenge. That's what we see. And God provides the justice. You know, often we may look around and we may say, well, who's going to provide justice? We look at the court system and say, that's pretty much a mess. God provides justice. God is a just God. And we need to realize that. And so David was ready to take revenge. We've already seen his men strap on their swords. 400 of them. David is met by Abigail on the way. And he blesses Abigail. Blessed be thy advice, verse 33, blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with my own hand. So often we think we have to do it our way, we have to get the justice from our own hands. And God takes care of that, brothers and sisters. God is a just God. Hebrews 10, verse 30, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. As we said, where is David going to get justice? God takes care of justice, even when we can't point to an earthly judge who's going to do it. Well, Nabal has been having a party like a king, we read, verse 36. His heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. And she didn't tell him anything then. Again, wisdom. You know, you don't get to tell a drunk man that sort of thing. He's going to just cause worse problems. But when he was up in the morning, the wine was gone out of Nabal. His wife told him these things, verse 37. And his heart died within him. He had a heart attack, I think we could pretty much say. I don't know exactly the physiology of what's going on here. But he knew how close he had come to being killed. As David says, I'm going to kill him and everybody, every man in his family. And God, of course, prevented David from doing that which was sinful, what was wrong there. And Nabal then, 10 days later, dies. God took care of justice. Nabal is a fool. Nabal is, as we've read, a son of Belial, son of the devil. And David realizes as well that justice has been provided. Verse 39, when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and has kept his servant from evil. For the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. There's a lot of times I think we should be praying that prayer. That's often prayed in the Psalms. That God would return the wickedness of men upon their own heads. I think that's very applicable when we start looking at so many of the things we can't do anything physically about. I don't care how, whatever the word you want to use, how activist we get on some of these things. We can do our best, and we should. But some of these things we are not going to change, but God will change. And so we need to pray that the wickedness of men would be turned on their own head. And David then takes Abigail as wife. David realizes that beyond being just outwardly beautiful, she is a very wise wife. She is was a great asset to her husband. And David says, I need a wife like that. And yet at that same time, we also see that David's getting a little big for himself. We read in verse 43 that he takes Ahinoam of Jezreel. So he's got two wives because Saul has done another wicked thing, taking David's wife Michal away from him and giving her to another man. God's justice with Saul is going to take a little longer, isn't it? And sometimes God evens things out pretty quickly. But sometimes He doesn't. We don't know. His time is not our time. And yet God is just. And brothers and sisters, one aspect of that that we really need to just take a moment of note with is God is just. God is also gracious to those who believe on Him. And so, when we consider the justice of God, I stand here and I think, man, I'm glad I don't receive God's justice about my sins. Because God will judge sin justly. And His righteous judgment requires that sin, as the Catechism says, which is committed against the Most High Majesty of God, be punished with extreme, that is, with just judgment of body and soul in time and eternity. And so when we hear that God is just, without Jesus Christ, I'm shaking in my boots. But praise the Lord for His mercy, for His grace, that we do not receive what we deserve, but indeed we receive far and above anything we could ever ask or imagine. And so when we look at these things, we look at the justice of God, and at that same time we need to be reminded of His mercy and of His grace. And so, whatever we have on this world, we need to be careful to use them to the glory of God, not just for ourselves. And we need to be very thankful for what God has done on our behalf in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us rise, let us bow before God in prayer, and let us close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Our God and gracious Heavenly Father, we come before You in thanksgiving for Your justice, and that You do not just wink at sins. Indeed, O Lord, that Your justice is so radical that the only way for You to save sinners was to punish Your Son on our behalf. And so, as we consider the world in which we live, in which so often it seems that justice has gone out the window, that righteousness has been so far maligned, that who would want to do that? Yet, O Lord, we know that You are just and that You judge justly. And that while we may or may not see how You are working out that justice in the world, You are. And that we can have confidence in that. And yet, O Lord, even as we consider that justice, we are thankful. We stand amazed at Your mercy, at Your grace in Jesus Christ. We pray, O Lord, that we might always live in thanksgiving for Your grace, for the salvation which He purchased as He lived and as He died perfectly on our behalf. And so, O Lord, we bow before you in thanksgiving. We bow before you in praise. We pray, O Lord, for your grace. We pray, O Lord, for your mercy in all that we say and do and think. And we ask these things for the sake of Christ our Savior, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.